This is Ken Shaw in the CTV newsroom. He ran over and killed an attendant who was trying to prevent him from fleeing a gas station without paying. Now he's going to jail for at least 16 years. As well tonight, tributes continue to pour in from fans and players alike after the death of Roy Halladay. CTV's Paul Bliss looks at what the vote could be in the college teachers' strike. And we'll tell you about a scam that has separated 40 victims for more than $300,000. I'm Ken Shaw. Join me with Zerida Ullman tonight at 6 for all the day's news.
CHUM AM Toronto is TSN 1050, an iHeart radio station and the voice of Leafs Nation.
I'm Scott Ferguson. This TSN 1050 Sports Center update for the new OLG ProLine app. Make picks anytime, anywhere. It's your new pregame ritual. Download the app today and get way into the pregame. Auston Matthews out of the Maple Leafs lineup for the first time since joining the team tonight when they take on Minnesota at the ACC. He's day-to-day with an upper body injury, but as Gino Retta noted on the Scott MacArthur show, the Wild are even more beat up.
Niederreiter came back. That's nice. Parise still gone long-term. Coyle still gone long-term with the broken leg. Niedermeyer's back surgery, Parise's back surgery, you wonder how he's going to be even when he does come back. This is a team that's already missed 42-man games.
Our coverage tonight starting at 7 o'clock with Leafs game night. The Raptors, 6-4 now, wind up their homestand tomorrow night versus New Orleans. We've got it for you starting at 7 o'clock. Now TSN hockey analyst Ray Ferraro joining Overdrive on the voice of Leafs Nation, TSN 1050, Toronto.
It's time to get brutally honest.
They are a joke. They're a disaster.
They get a full bowl cleaning.
I would honestly dump them in a porta potty and then push
Turn
the thing
it upside
over.
Down.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Doc, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's Wednesday, so our friend Jerry will be joining us in about a half an hour. Jerry's going to have a bunch of hot takes, and we will play Jerry's percentages. See what he has in store this week. That's at 5:30. Ray's coming up here momentarily. Leafs in action tonight, Minnesota in town. Bruce Boudreau. Well-known Leaf fan?
Yeah, how does that work?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Like, I could see that being an issue in Minnesota. Like, wherever he coaches, when he was in Washington, Anaheim, Minnesota, that he'll tell people if you ask him. Like, he watches as many Leaf games as he can.
So it's his dream job to take over for Babcock someday.
I guess that's kind of what he's saying. Like, without saying it, you'd have to feel as if were the opportunity available to him, he'd flip and come up here.
Really?
Well, I don't know. He grew up, he played for the Marlies, he played for the Leafs, grew up in the Toronto area, grew up in Toronto, diehard Maple Leaf
and
fan.
Everybody talks about the same thing, like being in the alumni box, you talk to anybody, they all watch, even guys around the league, like Bruce that played and his alumni, they just, it's something you track. You just track it.
What would happen if Brucey Boudreau came out in his alumni jacket tonight?
Stood behind the bench.
I would pay a lot of money to see that.
Weren't we down there once and Brucey was running practice in his suit in the morning skate on the bench?
He was. He was on the bench in a suit yelling at people. He's one of a kind, man. I love Bruce Boudreau. He's a great interview. He's a outspoken guy. He called out his team a couple of nights ago. He doesn't like the way they're playing right now and wants them to improve. And Minnesota's a team that was in the playoffs a year ago, very good team a year ago. They're not off to the greatest start. Devan Dubnyk has not been playing well. We presume he's going to get the start tonight.
Yeah, you're down on Dubnyk.
Well, I've got him in the pool, right?
Well, think about our pools. You have a pool. I have one for the TSN fantasy show. My goalie's Carey Price. Yours is Devan Dubnyk.
No, hold on. I've also got
Vasilevsky. Yeah.
I've got Jake Allen, Jake the Snake, who's playing pretty well. I'm okay in the goaltending department, but
I
need Dubnyk.
Well, I'm not really because I'd only have one.
Well, how about that? All the Habs needed was Carey Price to take a lap, stop playing, and they start winning games.
But it was almost like a wake-up call where they were like, sometimes you don't have him back there. You're like, I got to be extra good. I got to try harder.
Yeah, you got to. You're right. Like, you don't have that safety blanket. But I, they were a better team than they were showing early on. They're just not an elite team out east. To me, they're a middle of the pack, could be fighting for the playoffs and be there. Price can be your difference maker once he gets his game into shape. But I've seen every one of their games this year. There were times where you needed a save and you didn't get it, and the team was fragile and couldn't score. But they're a solid team. They're fast up front. They really forecheck. They're one of the better forechecking teams in the NHL as far as hound dog in the puck. But now they may have a more adversity. It looks like Durant took a shot off the hand there, and now if he's out for a couple games, you know, health is a big factor too. Brendan Gallagher looks pretty good this year. Well, yeah, he's actually playing, not getting hit by slap shots by Shea Weber and whoever else is. He's had two seasons in a row where I think he's had hand injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the injury bug goes through a lot of teams. I think we were just talking about, I know maybe you guys were talking about in the previous hour, is the Leafs have been, knock on wood, pretty fortunate in the last 2 years, really, as far as their big boys not or being available for all the games. Tonight's the first game Auston Matthews will miss in his career.
Yep, JVR missed one, I guess, a week and a half ago. Connor Carrick has missed a couple of games.
Like, there's like five games they've missed.
But that's it. Yeah, for the most part, everyone's been available to them. And this is one of those double-edged swords when you talk about the different angles that comes with a guy like Auston Matthews not playing.
Right.
There's a real opportunity. It has to carry over. It can't be one game. Right. But let's say he ends up missing four or five games. This could actually boost his case for winning the Hart Trophy if they completely fall off without him. It happens in other sports all the time. Like, what's happening with my Packers right now is the biggest drop-off potentially in sports history. And that's not hyperbole. Going from Aaron Rodgers to Brett Hundley might be the biggest drop-off in sports history.
Really?
That he can't play. Hundley cannot play, and Aaron Rodgers is absolutely the best quarterback in the game. Right there, him and Brady. But going from Rodgers to Hundley, I'm not sure the Packers are going to win another game. I'm not even kidding you. They've got the Browns. They've got Tampa at home, a couple of games.
You don't think they can beat the Browns?
I think they'll beat the Browns, but I'm not guaranteeing.
Don't we have a Jerry's percentage about the Browns?
I believe there might be another one about the Packers this afternoon. But I'm telling you, going from Rodgers to Hundley is one of the biggest drop-offs in sports history, and all it's going to do is boost the MVP resume of Aaron Rodgers. If they don't win another game all year, he should be the MVP. And if the Leafs just continue to spiral out of control without Matthews, it'll be brought up at the end of the year if he gets healthy and keeps rolling.
Well, I don't think he's out for months.
I know. It's day-to-day at this point, but trying to get information out of this team is impossible. Let's bring in Ray Ferraro joining us on Overdrive, and it's brought to you by Valiant Financial. What's up, Ray?
The history of sport?
Oh, yeah.
That's a long time, hey.
Oh, no, dude. Rodgers to Brett Hundley, have you been watching this character play?
There may be no greater term than character for an athlete. Have you seen this character? So you're now promoting Rodgers for the MVP.
Yes.
And if I'm following your timeline, if the Leafs fall off the table, they haven't even played a game without Matthews yet.
Unanimous Hart winner.
This is it.
Unanimous.
Yeah, this is the hot take. Hot take Wednesday here.
Oh, I'm bringing the heat today, buddy. But I'm. There is an element of seriousness in all of this because I think he's in the running. I think you'd have to look at Stamkos and Kucherov clearly. And I know they played 15 games or whatever. It's too early to really define this.
Kopitar, Petrangelo.
But who else? Like, who else? Tavares has been great.
Yeah.
This is going to sound crazy, but Hellebuck might get some love at this point, the way he's found a way to get team going.
If there's a 10-pack, let's just look through the league.
Oh, he's in the 10-pack. He's third or fourth in the league in scoring.
I'm saying Matthews would be in the 10-pack.
Of course. Yeah. He's in a 5-pack for me.
Really?
Absolutely. You'd name five players ahead of him?
Friday 5-pack.
No, okay, Noodles, I want to circle back on that. Name five players you would have ahead of him if you were voting on the Hart tonight.
Well, they just named.
Kucherov and Stamkos.
Yeah. Okay.
Petrangelo.
There's three.
Okay.
Kopitar.
Kopitar. Why Kopitar over Matthews?
Kopitar plays 61 minutes a night.
Okay.
And he's got, his stats are outrageous. The team is way better than people thought they were going to be.
Yeah, I mean...
He's got less points than Matthews, I believe, but... Okay, and he doesn't control how many minutes he plays. That's on Babcock, not Austin Matthews. But I can understand case for Kopitar.
I think there's he's certainly there. Whether it's just I don't think he's top five. I think he's close though. Yeah, you make a good point. Like he's close.
Like
he's
I don't think this is some outrageous take. Like I've had takes in the past where I suggested Phil should be.
But
John
Tavares is a guy that
I would consider Tavares to be the Austin Matthews of the New York Islanders. But if you're going to make the case for him, you got to make it for 34 in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just let's you know.
And I think if they play poorly tonight,
on fire, too.
He goes even further up.
Well, if it's what you say, the most valuable to his team.
He's got it. He's right there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I got them all here. Kucherov, Stamkos, Kopitar, Petrangelo, Matthews, Tavares. That's your...
I feel like we're missing somebody. You had Hellebuck in there, too.
Well, I mean, Ovi is loaded up on goals, but he did that in like two or three games.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not just... Let's not forget... Let's not just look at the stat sheet.
Of course.
Let's look at, actually, to your point, Brian, value to the team. And if you take a player out of that lineup, where would that team be?
This will sound crazy, but what about Jaden Schwartz
in St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at his numbers.
Yeah, but it's a shorter list than I guess the people think.
Oh yeah, it's not 15 guys for sure, and Matthews is in that short list.
Yeah, but I mean, can we get to 10? We're probably stretching to get to 10, right? You know, clear cut 10.
There's no way there's 10. Like, we've watched this guy play every night.
No. I'm saying throughout the league. I've watched multiple games throughout the league.
I understand that. There's no way there's been 10 players more valuable than Austin Matthews.
Oh, no, I'm not saying
not
that.
Not a chance.
I'm saying...
No, he's saying
I'm
in
saying
the
list total in the conversation.
Right, that you could make a case for maybe 10 guys who could find a way to be in the top three and maybe have a nomination. And let's be honest, like, McDavid hasn't put
Is there anybody out of Jersey? Is there anybody out of New Jersey that you could... Like a Schneider
or
Taylor Hall.
You know who? I did a game in Dallas on Monday, and I will put
I know who
three
say.
Guys into this mix.
Shifley.
Mark Shifley is a stud. He is so good. Blake Wheeler is playing amazing hockey. He had four assists that night. He leads the team in scoring. And the other guy is Jamie Benn. Ben had 10 shots. I know this is one game, but Ben's the best player on that team. It's not close.
Yeah.
He's a monster. And I would have those three guys in the outer group, not in the Matthews group, but I'm telling you, Shifley could win an MVP at one time. I think
he
can.
He is that good.
He's been spectacular.
But the thing is he's got 18 points, so he's one behind. Like, that's the point. That's why I was saying don't look just clear at the points.
But here's another thing you got to consider. And it's not – you shouldn't necessarily fault the individual players, but I think it's something that has to pop into your mind. Stamkos is playing with Kucherov. Schwartz has Petrangelo on his team. They're both playing remarkably well. Shifley is on the same line as Wheeler. Matthews is riding solo a lot. Like, Nylander had a really good start.
Yeah.
But he has been the only guy night in, night out where you're like, this guy is carrying this team. Now, Kopitar,
you know the game,
maybe make the case for him too. But
yeah, you know the game I thought where Matthews just stood way ahead of it all was in L.A. when they were so bad.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he scored two goals. And they were back in the game. And then he had another penalty shot. You're like, He did it by himself.
Yeah.
That was a game where he looked that night like Jamie Benn did on Monday in Dallas. Dallas stunk. They were terrible. And you couldn't stop. We couldn't stop saying Ben's name. That's what Matthews did that night in L.A.
I read, and this is a local beat guy, but it was the same type of hyperbole conversation. He was like, Johnny Gaudreau's got to be in that conversation too. And it was actually, I don't even know if that even stemmed, but he was like, I would put Johnny Gaudreau's name in the Hart conversation today. That was the title of it. He's got 19 points.
He's off to a quality start, point
and they're,
wise.
They're basically the, I mean, Calgary's 8-7. I think the Leafs are 9-7. Mm-hmm. Like they're not that far off. So I still think there's a short list of what if we got.
There's
to
a bunch
10
of
guys.
Great players, and listen, it doesn't matter because there is no vote not, tonight. Yeah. But I'll read this tweet out, and I think he brings up a good point. I know there will be some backlash because the game has changed in terms of how we approach this specific stat.
Right.
But Matthews is leading the league in plus minus, plus 14 on one of the worst defensive teams in the league.
Yeah, it's a good
like plus
okay,
14.
You know where I think that plus minus really matters? It's in a case like you mentioned here, where the team can't defend, and he's that far ahead of everybody mm-hmm. in his plus minus. If you take, for example, two right defensemen, and Chris Letang's minus 1,000 right now, and then you look at another right defenseman on that team, and they're plus, then it matters to me. Because they play the same position. Not against the same competition, but it's the same position. That's when that stat, to me, has some interest.
Some value. Well,
yeah, when I was playing, of course, it was the only thing we had. And it meant we'd all be pissed off about it. We're like, wait a minute, our goalie fogged out on a 60-foot shot, and I get a dash for that?
Or you're like, you got your point, man, and there's just some guy gets dangled in the corner.
You're
and
right.
Stuffs it on Artur Zerbe. I'm like, there's another one. Like,
yeah. Well,
what am I supposed
to
do?
But the top offensive guys are always out with one. You're down by one goal. You get an empty netter mm-hmm. minus two, right? Like those.
We were in Hartford. I forget. I'm trying to remember when it was, but one of the guys would come back to the bench after a crappy goal against, and he'd be making a noise like he was eating. And he'd just be coming back to the bench. He's like, nom, 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 nom. And he's like, what are you doing? Chewing another minus.
Just losing money on contract time.
Because that's all we had. Hey, I was plus 35. And then the team would go, oh, that plus minus doesn't mean very much. But if you came in at minus 10, they had the thing sitting on the door in bold letters.
I got screwed for two minuses one night. We had pulled our goalie early, and a player changed with a 2-on-0 breakaway, and I had to step on for it to watch it go in. What did he do? He did it again. We pulled the goalie again because they got one, and we're like, oh, let's keep him out.
It's got to be Sammy Kapanen.
No, I'm not going to say the name. Well, I'm not saying the name of the man, but he did it to me twice. I had to step on and watch a guy shoot it in the empty net, and it took a minus.
Have I ever
smashed my stick into 45 pieces.
I don't know if I go ahead, Ray.
I was just gonna say those empty net minuses, you'd feel this rage. Especially when you were down two. You're like, we haven't scored all night. We're not getting two without the goalie. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why do I gotta go out here and just get punched in the teeth here with another dash?
I think I've told the story.
Who really cares about the plus minuses at the end of a game if it was like 3-1?
Yeah.
And a guy would just go in and like take a little flutter shot on net and then just get off because he didn't want to be on for the minuses.
Well,
it was pathetic.
I think I've told this story before. When I was playing in St. Louis, Pronger was, he had a bonus for plus minus, and I think it's the year he won the Hart. It was, he was like plus whatever, 47, I think, that year or something. And it was ridiculous stats, or plus 52, one of the two. But it was a massive bonus. And we were beating Florida 5-1 with about 5 minutes left. And Stephane Matteau scored from Grant Fear from the corner. And Prongs was on the ice. And he smashed his stick on the glass and came back to the bench and yelled at me and said, you tell him to wake up back there. And you could see Fierzy in the net laughing. And he came at the TV timeout, and Prongs was so mad, he was squirting water at him, and he said, smarten up, because there's still 5 minutes left in the game, and I may allow another one. And he laughed and skated back.
and Prongs laughed afterwards. But it was, you could tell at that point, I think there was about $1 million on the line. It was a massive bonus.
Oh, he's got to make that stop.
And he's got, I mean, and Fierzy wasn't paying attention. He fell asleep and Matteau threw one off the back of his pad in the net, and it cost Prongs a
Yeah, he holds all the power. That's the beauty.
Exactly.
Of it. He's like, don't make me let another muffin in.
So funny. I loved it.
That's outstanding.
Noodles, were you playing in... Were you playing for St. Louis when somebody had like a huge bonus last game of the year?
Yes.
And we had pulled the goalie. The Kings had pulled the goalie. And whoever it was shooting it into the empty net. And out of left field, Yaroslav Modrý came sliding and blocked us. And we all knew the bonus. I forget who it was.
Scott Young.
And he did. And the bonus didn't happen because Mo made this. It was an awesome block. However, we were all like, what are you doing?
We actually told that story on air the other day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like last week.
It was last week.
Because it was a double whammy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Pavel Dimitra passing it to Scott Young. Pavel had a $500,000 bonus for 1 point, and Scott Young had a $300,000 bonus for scoring his 25th, and he was at 24, and there was 8 seconds left, and everyone on the ice and on the benches, both sides, knew the bonus except for Yaroslav Modrý.
It was a hell of a block.
$800,000 block.
That's sickening. That's so sickening. And you know you're doing something wrong when your own teammates aren't congratulating you for making the nicest play of your career.
And Modrý's just doing his job.
Doing his job. Exactly. He's thinking, my GM's watching. I wouldn't mind being employed next year. I got to keep working here.
Classic.
He wasn't getting any of the money from, from any of those two guys.
Yeah, he wasn't getting any. What he should have gotten was dinner from the Blues management.
No kidding.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. And they should have sent him some money and said thank you for not making his payout $800,000.
Exactly.
Is there a Leaf in particular you're focused on tonight that you're hoping or you're planning on seeing stepping up big time without Matthews?
Yeah, Nylander. I mean, he's got to play, right? And before the hole gets too deep, you got to start filling it in a little bit. And I don't know, maybe without Matthews, it becomes a little easier for him to do his thing. You know, he doesn't have him to lean on, don't have him to trust. You got to do more. You got to do more yourself. And maybe that's enough to spring him a little bit.
Yeah.
He's not been.
No, and I'm curious to see if he'll play up the middle of the ice tonight. They had an optional, and we don't know what the lineup's going to be. We won't know until before the game, but he was practicing there on Monday when Matthews didn't take the skate. And I'm intrigued by that. I don't know if he's got it in him. I don't know if that is a long-term plan or even a feasible plan. But if there's any thought process towards it, the idea of him potentially taking over for Bozak next year, you got to see it this year. I mean, you can't go into next offseason without him ever playing center and just say, yeah, we're just going to hand him the keys. Don't you have to see him?
Yeah, you can, because Montreal did it with Drouin.
I guess you're right. Yeah, but...
You know, I mean, it's certainly a risk, but it also strikes me as though it would be the type of thing where Babcock would do, basically to say, okay, you want to be one of the big boys here, so be a big boy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it just kind of feels like almost like a little bit of a challenge. Okay, well then get it done.
We'll see where it goes tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5 p.m. Thanks, buddy.
Talk to you later, boys.
There he is, Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial for fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer. Visit valiantfinancial.ca. Our buddy Simon Whitfield, one of the great Canadian athletes of all time, will be in studio at 6.
Will he like our setup out there?
He's going to be mortified that we're eating food like this, like just getting after best Portuguese chicken. He's
He'll probably love it.
You think he'll eat?
Oh, yeah. We'll get him a plate.
All right, we'll get him a plate. We'll try to make him look like Turk Broda by the end of the afternoon if we can. So he'll be in studio. Bobby Mack on the phone around 6:25, and Jerry's percentages next. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update. Here's Adjua.
The problems continue for the drive home on the northbound 404. Just approaching Stouffville, we have the right lane blocked at the collision. 401 continues to be very slow across the city, but no live lane problems blocking lanes. Westbound Gardner not moving. DBP out to Dufferin. And in down, we have a collision on the go on Weston Road south of the 401. It'll be very cold tonight. We'll head down to the freezing mark for your Thursday. You might want to wear that heavier jacket. In the morning, a mix of sun and cloud. In the afternoon, showers. We'll reach a high of 9, but temperatures will fall to +2. The Otrepin Report is alerting commuters to the approaching cold season. Be prepared for nasal congestion with Otrepin Medicated Nasal Spray to help alleviate congestion and runny nose. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Adjoa and Siaye Bois.
Remembering Roy Halladay. Larry Boa.
He always had time. It didn't matter if you were a superstar on the team, if you were a manager of the team, or a double-A ball manager. He had time for you. He would love to talk baseball. And the one thing that stands out in my mind is how competitive he was. And I love watching him pitch. And he left a tremendous mark in Philadelphia here. He did a tremendous job here.
Hear more about the legendary Blue Jay all day on TSN 1050.